Ladies and gentlemen, show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight!
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am?
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is indeed trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core and somebody better do something about it. Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And good evening. Welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. We are here once again. Mr. Afgar here, Batman in the Batcave, and Magic Matt, we'll get to him here shortly, is here as well. And I just want to say, Merry freaking Christmas. You know, we've already got music being played in the lobby. I heard a little Oh Holy Night out there just a minute ago. And
Lord.
It's the holiday season again. And let's be honest, too, I'm in a good mood because the blonde girl that works the front desk has become nicer and nicer and nicer to me as we've progressed this show over the last year.
She gets to know people. She opens up.
Very nice. Very nice. And I don't even hold it against her that she's a smoker. That's okay, too. Don't mind about that. Yeah, as long as she's not doing it in the studio with us, that's okay. So happy holidays, Jared Afgar.
Well, you know, at least you can say you've accomplished something over the year.
Yeah, exactly. And that's about the only thing, because I certainly have actually lost listeners. So
Afgar is very, very sensitive.
You're down to two now, or one?
Something like that. We like drop two, we add one. We're like two steps backwards and one step forward or something like that. So it's good to have you back, though.
Good to be back.
They've got you in Cleveland quite a bit. In fact, we're going to lose you again next week, but you'll be back for our holiday show here in a couple weeks.
I believe so, yeah.
That would be good. Hope so. Magic Matt tonight is joining us from USC, home of any quarterback that makes it to the NFL and never accomplishes anything in the NFL. Mr. Magic Matt Leinart. Matt, I'm very sorry to hear about your broken fallopian tube, but happy that you're able to join us tonight on the show.
Well, I may have a busted up collarbone, but my mustache is sweet.
Come on,
if you didn't see it.
That's an awesome mustache.
Wasn't it, though?
It's funny because I didn't even notice it when they showed the highlight of you getting your ass kicked, you know, when you dropped back to pass and broke your fallopian tube. But then they show you on the sideline holding your fallopian tube in a cast. And
you didn't realize they made slings for those things.
No, I had no idea. They have a sling for everything, you know?
Nice.
So good to have you along with us, pal. And we'll look forward to hearing some WTF news and sports from you later, as well as anything else you might have to add to the drama that we will have ensuing tonight. So, Batman, hi. And let's move on. Just kidding. We love you. You're okay. You've been okay. I mean, you and me, we've actually gotten along.
We always kind of did, except for the one thing about the Batman and Robin picture. That was the only time we ever had a clash.
Or when I'm yelling at you on the show.
But that's okay, because I know it's all in love,
man. It is. Look, we said this, one of our rules of the show, the very last rule, in the end, when the show ends, we're all friends again. Doesn't matter what you say about me tonight, Jerry, when we talk about me and Asperger's syndrome, I'll still be your friend at the end. And I'll still be coming over on Saturday night.
In whose end?
Yeah, I knew that. See, that's right here. The man who always finishes the bad joke.
Afgar is very, very sensitive.
That's why you're here. We have this guy here too.
So, Dave, what are your goals here at WNYX?
Well, I just want to be the best damn news director I can be.
That's you. You're our WTF news and sports director. So, and then of course this guy back there.
I love this job more than I love taffy.
And of course your host.
Do you even listen to yourself when you talk?
And of course the talent director of the show is also Mr.
Afgar. He's very, very sensitive.
And another song, another awesome song from his new talent find. We must play a little bit of this right now. Jan Terry and her song, Journey to Mars. This is some good stuff, man.
It doesn't get any better.
I mean, you must see this video. and we shall post it on bradwestmar.com. I mean, the video is really does it more justice.
Oh.
Right?
The costuming?
Yes.
Academy Award winning stuff.
Beam me up, Scotty. Here we go. Spot on. Spot on key every time. A Jedi Superstar's new singer.
Yeah.
You had some criticisms of the video, though.
Yes. If you're singing about Mars and all that sort of rambling crap, you might show one picture of the freaking planet.
Probably a good idea, but they didn't.
But they show all these other spacey things going on that made no sense. It's like true. Someone got onto Amiga, you know, and like cranked a bunch of random crap out.
This chick would be great to have on the show if it was 1991 again, but unfortunately, apparently we missed her 20 years later.
She's still around,
but it's like, well, maybe she's making a comeback. Maybe that's why we're bringing her on the show. I don't know.
Yeah, you could be help relaunch this.
Exactly. This is a big hook here. Yeah. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam
me up, Scotty. You know, if you can't pronounce the letter R, you probably shouldn't have that in your chorus.
Yeah. Well, wait till we play in 2 weeks for the Christmas show her song Walkin' Woe Santa. I'm not kidding you. It's not rock and roll. It's Walkin' Woe Santa. So there she is, your talent, Jan Terry.
I admire her dedication. You know, she must believe in this a lot.
I agree. And, yeah.
I don't want to lose you tonight, Brad.
Oh, it's been... Don't. I erased that. That song's so bad, I erased that off my soundboard. So
you're the only thing that matters.
Oh, my God. A couple of things real quick before we get into my Asperger. First of all, did anybody happen to notice during the Broncos-Chargers game, not that that was a game any of you would be watching, but did anybody happen to notice on the TV when the TV camera showed Nick Novak, the Chargers kicker, taking a pee on the sideline? Did anybody see that, Matt? Did you see that?
I did. You actually stole one of my WTF stories.
Well, that's
a foul.
I already posted it on the website a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and you posted it on Twitter. I know you talked about it too, but that was hilarious.
It was absolutely hilarious. And thank God for Twitter, because I never would have noticed it. I was kind of mindlessly watching the game, and I'm on Twitter kind of jacking around and saying things like I always do during football games. And I just happened to see somebody mention it, and I went, boom, rewind on the DVR. And sure enough, there he is, bending over, squatting down with some coach holding a...
I like the accomplice.
A towel.
That's the best part.
Yeah, it was the best part. It was very funny. And, you know, you got a little empathy for him, because you can imagine what it's like to be... You can't... That late in the game, you can't be a kicker and run off to the locker room and take a pee.
No.
Especially when the game's that close. But even at all, you never know when they're going to score and need you to kick an extra point.
And you certainly want to be comfortable when you're in that
kicking
situation.
Stage.
Yes.
Very
and he
true.
Said, in the article I was reading about it today, he said he goes like 2 or 3 times a game.
Wow, he's got a bladder like me.
Yeah, it's like you kicking for the Chargers. That's what I thought.
Not good. I feel sorry for him. Man, Nick Toilet. Man.
And do you know the league's like okay with that?
Are they really?
Yeah. I'll read you a quote from Greg Aiello.
Sure.
He's the senior VP of public relations for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when this occurs, the player has been shielded. The player has been shielded from public view, and there have been no issues with it, he said. If a player goes to the locker room, he may not be available when his team is counting on him to be on the field.
You know, wouldn't it make sense? Just throwing this out there, okay? Wouldn't it make sense
put
a porta potty on each sideline? Hello?
Right.
I mean, why not? I don't get it.
That's just one more thing, though, a player's going to run into and tip over. And that's a bad scenario.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, like, they've been taking out cheerleaders and coaches and guys with the mics and the cameras. You just know it's a matter of time before someone smashes into that.
It's a very good
point.
And
I would not want to be the kicker in that thing when it went over.
You're probably right. Now, also, that was the same game, if I recall correctly. That was the same game where one of my favorite referees, you guys know I love the referees, one of my favorite referees named Jeff Triplett. Now, Jeff Triplett is the guy who was famous for throwing the flag at Orlando Brown here about 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, hit him in the eye.
Hit him in the eye, yeah. and caused him to basically have to retire, if I recall correctly.
He's dead now, too.
Oh, that's right. He did die, didn't he? That's right. So Jeff Triplett is always, and I've mentioned him, I've called him a box of rocks on the show before. I know I have. He's not the brightest of officials. Now, did you guys happen to catch what he did too during this game? It was going into overtime, the game was, okay, when Tebow brought him back again with some Tebow magic. And Jeff Triplett calls out when they were doing the coin toss. He said, each team must have an opportunity to possess the football and score.
Right. He did the
overtime, playoff, the playoff overtime rules instead. And, of course, everybody was immediately in the booth and me in front of my TV going, what the hell are you talking about, you big dope? And apparently he corrected himself during the commercial break. But
one of the announcers piped up right away. I don't know if it was Dan Fouts or Ian Eagle was doing the game. That's wrong.
You're right. I think it was Dan Fouts. I believe it was Dan Fouts that said it first. And you're right. I think Ian Eagle was too busy. Never mind. Anyway,
don't go there.
I should. I mean, is there any booth that I like? I'm not really sure if they're. I do like Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, to be honest with you. But,
of course you do.
Well, yeah, there's a shock.
Yeah, but I said it before on the show here, Jared, back at the beginning of the year, Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are one of the least talkative booths. They did an analysis, remember that? And Troy Aikman and Joe Buck actually say the least amount of words during a broadcast. And I believe the most amount of words was the booth with Tony Siragusa on the sideline and I don't remember, Moose Johnston.
Aikman actually doesn't bother me as much as Buck does.
Yeah, I know you don't like Joe Buck. Yeah. I understand. And I know Matt doesn't. And most baseball guys don't like Joe Buck, you know. Let's see. What else do I have on my plate before we talk about my Asperger? Real quick, one more thing that I noticed about Andy Reid. Tell me if I'm wrong. If there was ever a coach where once you go black, you never go back holds true, I think it's Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid just can't get off the black quarterback kick. Okay, and really, the Philadelphia Eagles can't seem to get off the black quarterback kick. Apparently, you know, they had the Polish quarterback in the 70s and the early 80s. Then they had Randall Cunningham. Then they had Donovan McNabb. I mean, after some issues in there with who else did they? Who did they have in between Donovan McNabb and Randall Cunningham? There must have been some black guy in there. I don't know.
Then you got Warren Moon.
Now you got Michael. Then you got Michael Vick, and then you got I know we'll get Vince Young to back him up. That makes sense because Vince Young's good. I mean, Philadelphia's got problems. I almost feel bad for him.
Well, I think you got to figure though that Vick and Young. I don't know. I don't know enough about Young to know if they just thought, hey, he has a similar skill set. We don't need to change the offense.
Similar skin color is what they were thinking.
Maybe.
You know,
is that where they got rid of Cobb? Kolb?
You don't fit. You're too white.
Silent L guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Is it Cobb? Yeah, Kevin Cobb in the butt. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, so let's get to the point that I wanted to bring up. We talked about this off the air. We've talked about it. I don't even know if we've alluded to it on the air before. But, you know, I've got issues when it comes to... I think I've got issues when it comes to people. I'm trying to figure out where I fit into society, guys. And I just... Well, you know... I've joked quite a bit, and I've had talked to people about it. I know I don't think I've got this, but maybe I have a mild form of Asperger's syndrome. Is it Asperger or is it Asperger? Because it's spelled with a P.
It's a P.
But it sounds like burger when you say it. It sounds like you're saying Asperger.
Quickly, it's hard to say it quickly and pronounce it with a P.
It's a new burger. Asperger. New burger at Jack in the Box, the Asperger.
Burger.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we're not going to go to Jack in the Box together because when I was in Dallas last time, I had a Jack in the Box burger. I don't get it. Not a big deal to me. Just a burger, you know?
You're out your damn mind, man.
Maybe I had the wrong one. I don't know. But
maybe you went to the wrong Jack.
I don't know.
Was it charbroiled?
I don't know. It was.
So what is it
right? You don't know if a charbroiled burger is?
I don't know. It's Burger King.
Oh, that's charbroiled.
I don't know. I don't know. I had a burger at Jack in the Box, and I was like, this is not a big deal to me. And that, I mean, the fries were actually better.
Better or worse than Five Guys?
Never had Five Guys, so I can't tell you for
that's
sure.
That's good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Five Guys.
Better or worse than Backyard Burger?
It's been a long time since I've had Backyard Burger. Look, I like Red Robin's Monster Burger, okay?
Yeah,
I mean, that's one of my favorite burgers, and it's very commercialized, but... You know, that's what I like. But I don't know. Maybe I got the wrong one. But I want to tell you right now that I'm all for bringing the Asperger to Jack in the Box. But so anyway, this whole Asperger syndrome thing. Okay, Jared, I know you're a wise man. Tell me a little bit about some of the symptoms of what Asperger's is. I mean, I'm apparently, according to you before we started the show, not smart enough to have Asperger's. Is that true? Kind of like an idiot savant, is that?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it's not like Rain. I don't think Rain Man necessarily had it. I mean, it's. I believe it's on the autism scale, right, or the spectrum, as they say.
I think so.
And it's a mild. I don't know if it's a mild form of it. I mean, you can't. There's no like hard and fast test, as far as I know, to say X you have it or Y you don't.
Right.
It's just there are certain symptoms that are indicative of it, and a lot of it has to do with I think your ability to empathize and relate to other people and not pick up social cues from those around you. And
that's the part that I don't really know if I fall into, because I have a list of some of the symptoms. I mean, social interaction, the lack of demonstrated empathy is possible. So what you just mentioned, yeah, exactly. You know, often display behavior, interests, and activities that are restricted and repetitive and are sometimes abnormally intense or focused.
Ding.
You know, speech and language, although individuals with Asperger's syndrome acquire language skills without significant general delay, and their speech typically lacks significant abnormalities, language acquisition and use is often atypical.
See, I don't think that fits.
That's not me. That doesn't fit me as much. No. But the first two, I've got 2 out of 3.
Yeah, but I have this question for you. So, generally, this is a condition with which you're born. I'm going to posit that your acquisition for this lack of empathy thing is a defensive mechanism based on a gradual realization over time that people do, in fact, suck.
Well,
I don't think you started out that way. I think you just, more annoying things happen, and you're just like, I'm going to quit letting these people into my head and vice versa and treat them all with the same whitewash brand of idiocy.
Well, you may be right. And let me ask this to Matt, who I know is a little bit more on the sales end of life in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you deal with people needing something from you, correct?
Yeah.
You know? And I guess I know we can all relate to this, but my problem is that when somebody pisses me off or says something that's not right or accuses me of something that's not correct, you know, I have to bite my tongue. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's my biggest customer. I don't care if it's my boss. I don't care who it is. I have to bite my tongue out of my mouth to not say something sometimes. I know it's a cliche to say I don't have a filter, but I'm getting better at it. But I guess my question is, I don't care. Like, for instance, you know, if I'll say anything that I feel. I mean, it's not hard.
That's not.
I think
Asperger's.
That just comes over time. I think the older you get, the less you just care
about
what people think about you.
It's like the pencil that the poor kid had, you know, that was worn down to a horrible nub. The eraser had no like eraser left, and they were rubbing like metal on paper trying to erase things, and you felt bad for the kid. It's like that's your patience level with people. Like,
true.
You're now metal on paper. Scraping the crap out of things.
All right.
And I still feel sorry for you because you're kind of emotionally poor.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So we've established that maybe I don't have Asperger's, but here's the polar opposite of Asperger's, okay? Or the polar opposite maybe of me, or all of us for that matter. You've heard of Dale Carnegie, okay? I mean, I know you know who Dale Carnegie is.
I do. I'm not intimately familiar with his
teachings. Shouldn't be. He's 190 years old and deader than a doornail, but no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Matt, do you know who Dale Carnegie is?
No.
He's a motivational type, basically a motivational guy more than anything. He's like the Tony Robbins of what, the 40s, the 50s, something like that.
They still teach his method.
They still teach his stuff. They do. Yeah. And I printed off a list, and this is a long list, and I probably won't be able to get through all of these, but real quick, some of the stuff that he says you're supposed to do when dealing with people. Now, this is the polar opposite of me, for sure. And I cannot imagine, and I want you guys and also the two listeners out there listening to tell me if you can behave this way on a regular, consistent basis in your everyday life. He says the fundamentals are speak ill of no man and speak all the good you know of everyone. Say thank you. Okay, that's one thing I do quite a bit. Okay, talk about what people want and help them get it. Okay, those are some of the fundamentals, okay? But then he goes on to say some other things that make me cringe, okay? Ways to make people like you, okay? Be happy to see people. Smile. Remember people's names, okay? All three of those things I'm bad at, okay? Draw people out. Encourage them to talk about themselves and their interests. Now, that I can do if I really want to, but usually I'm just tired and lazy and don't want to hear about your interests and stuff.
Well, especially if it's someone, I don't mind it if it's someone new. If it's someone I already know, it's like, come on, man, we've been.
Well, this is true. This is true. All right, actively research the other person's interests.
Oh, actively.
Okay. Sorry, don't care. Yeah, don't care. Every person you meet feels themselves superior to you, and this is very key when you think about it. Every person you meet feels themselves superior to you in some way. Strain to find out what it is and recognize their importance. Talk to people about themselves and they will listen to you for hours. That is true. That is 110% true. I just don't like it. Okay? Right? Am I right? Anybody?
Are you right about not liking it, or are you right?
It's tough to realize that.
Well,
this,
it's even tougher as time goes on and society becomes more and more selfish. You know, I defy you to find people among the Twitter generation who are capable of thinking in this light.
Yeah, you might be right.
But, really? I mean,
you know, that's probably true. It's true. All right, it gets even worse. Here we go. Win people to your way of thinking, okay? Don't argue. Give in. Are you kidding me? Don't argue. Give in. That is not me, okay? Agree that the other person is right. Often they are, and if they aren't, you'll never convince them of it by arguing. I mean, his logic makes sense, but telling me not to argue is like telling me not to poo when I've got to. It's impossible. I mean, I've got to do what I've got to do. I'm going to argue.
Don't let this fall into your wife's hands.
I don't even know how to respond to that. When you bring up my wife, I just curl up into a ball. So don't ever tell a person they're wrong. Okay? If you know you're wrong, admit it. Now that I have no problem doing.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm never wrong. So I'm kidding. Ooh. Friendliness begets friendliness. Friendliness begets friendliness. Always begin that way. Don't accuse. Never neglect a kindness. Look for ways to do or say something nice. Start out by emphasizing areas of agreement. Now that makes sense. That's a bit of salesmanship. Start off with a positive, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Let the other person do most of the talking. Okay? That varies for me by day, you know.
It does?
Yeah. What's that, Matt?
I said it does?
Yeah.
It varies?
No, it really does vary. Some days I do. That's the second time I've said that. I do more listening than I do talking, but most of the time not. Let people come to your conclusions. First, tell me what you expect of me. Then tell me what I can expect of you. People will generally live up to the commitments they make to you as long as they come up with them on their own, quote unquote.
Okay? Yeah, see,
makes sense.
That's brilliant, because I had a former manager who dealt with very difficult people by just tricking them into thinking what he wanted was their idea in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, if you can pull that Jedi mind trick off, then
it's very talented. I agree. It takes talent to do, and I've not mastered it quite yet. Think always in terms of the other person's point of view. Where they stand depends on where they sit. Figure out where they're sitting. I've actually got an entire, I know, not for me. I've got an entire book coming to me about that, though. It basically is about just figuring out why people are, figuring out why people are the way they are and figuring out how to deal with them once you figure out why they are the way they are. Of the people you will ever meet, that one doesn't make any sense. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Okay? Dramatize your ideas. Don't use logic. Tell stories. Make your ideas visible, concrete. Bear in mind that people don't know until you show them what you mean. Got another book that I'm going to get from the library about drawing pictures. Me and Stickman.
Excellent.
Yeah. It says that when you draw your ideas and your thoughts and things down for people, it helps communicate things and they see it a lot better and they see it your way. So, I don't know. We'll see. Stimulate in others their innate desire to excel, perhaps through a friendly challenge or through competition. All right, one more. A few more things here real quick. Be a leader. This is, again, all BS. Don't go sailing into difficult interpersonal situations with guns blazing. You'll always get a negative reaction. See, that's me right there. Yeah, not good. Change but into and. That I do a lot. I do not like using the word but, although I do find myself using it quite a bit. I try not to. I try to use the word and instead because but is so negative. Unless it's hairy. Then
it's just creepy and wrong.
Exactly. Ask questions rather than giving orders. Be very careful to help others preserve their dignity. People crave recognition. Wow. Praise the smallest improvement and praise every improvement. Treat people as though they had the virtues you wish they possessed. Praise the good, minimize the bad, encourage. And finally, Napoleon once said, "I could conquer the world if only I had enough ribbon." Yeah.
Enough what?
Ribbon. I don't know. Whatever.
Like McRibbons?
You know, my point in all this is I believe that Todd Sheets may be Dale Carnegie. Because this right here is what Todd does. The problem with this is, with all due respect to Todd, the problem with all this, I'm kind of joking when I say that, sort of, is that this comes off so superficial, this Dale Carnegie stuff. If you did all of this, you'd seem like a fake plastic tree, Radiohead.
Well, I mean, but there are people who honestly believe that way. And if that's the way you're generally wired, then that's great. I think where the compromise comes in, it's like you feel like you're selling yourself out by behaving in a way that's not natural to who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's true of like whether you're trying to advance politically within a company or you're trying to, you know, whatever. You know, there are people who are good at playing the political games and maneuvering and that sort of thing. And you know, anyone can do it, but some of us just don't want to because of what that means to us as a person, you know?
You see, I have a hard time looking at any of you. First, especially Todd. I mean, I don't see Todd very angry very often at all, Todd. So I don't know how you do it, because seriously, always Mr. Happy Man, always Mr. Nice Guy.
Unless they don't have certain movies or Batman products at Walmart, then I go a little ape
shit. I've noticed that on YouTube before.
Yeah.
And then Matt, I mean, I have a hard time ever seeing you getting upset in any kind of, and I'm thinking business more than anything, in any kind of business situation. You seem like Mr. Nice Guy, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, I do a pretty good job of
faking it.
Yeah. I had a good example yesterday. I went out to a house to look at it, and I'm in the house like 5 minutes, and the woman basically told me I was overpaid for what I was doing.
Oh, ow. Yeah. How did you deal with that?
I just pretty much ignored her, because she kind of just walked into the room and asked how long I was going to be there, and obviously she knows what she's paying for it, and then she just said, well, that seems like a lot for what you do, and then she just left. I'm like, I want to go, you do realize why I'm here, right?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Usually people are very nice to me, thinking that's going to, you know, help the value of their home.
Right.
Nobody
right.
usually calls me out like that before I have a chance to put a number
on the house. Wow. Yeah. I see, my reaction probably would have been, you're right, I am overpaid and I love it. you know, something like that.
I would have been a real smart ass had I not been there for one of my best clients. If I'd have been there for just somebody that never calls me,
yeah,
I would have probably said something real smart ass to her. But when it's my best client, I can't have that getting back to him. I don't want to.
Yeah,
work it.
You did the right thing. I mean, most of the time.
Job.
Yeah, exactly. I think most of the time we do the right thing. Doo-doo.
Right? There it is.
Yeah. Stuck on the doo-doo.
Got to stop that. We need to take a break. So we've established I don't have Asperger's, but I'm also not a Dale Carnegie fanatic, I think. I mean, I can't do most of this.
And you do like doo-doo.
I do like
you
doo-doo.
You could if you tried.
You think so?
I think you could. You just hate yourself for it.
I just hate myself. That's the whole problem.
Just,
we know
you
that.
Know what you should do? Just pick one person at random with whom you normally interact and just try it.
Like, I'll tell you what. It's funny you say that, because I got the guy at the office that I talked to you about before that likes to stink up the bathroom at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And he's a little fakey himself and everything else. And I just, you know, I just don't have a tolerance for him.
Oh, you would be awesome. It's like, do it to him,
well,
because that would be hilarious.
I actually have. I've come in a pretty good mood a few times, and I've actually like talked to him, and I've like interacted with him, and he notices, and he makes an issue about it. So believe me, you're right. It does work. People notice it. They really, really do. But then they also say, what's wrong with him? What's he plotting? Why is Brad being so nice?
But that's why it's funny to give him something to worry about.
This is true.
Because you're accomplishing two things on one level.
Yeah, you might be
you're
right.
You're stroking an ego, plus you're making him sweat it a little bit.
That's a very good point. Let's take a break. We got a fantasy football update coming up, but also some WTF news and sports, and maybe our good friend Peter King will stop by too. Let's take a break, and we will be right back.
The Brad Westmore Show will be right back. Psst. Hey. Hey, come here.
What?
Come here.
No. What do you want?
Feel this. Come here. Feel this.
Feel what?
Feel this. Little prick. Oh, yeah. Yeah, little prick. You need more than just a little prick. You need Big Johnson's Body Art Studio. With award-winning artists and quality artwork that is out of this world, there's only one place to go for outstanding customer service. Big Johnson's. Search Facebook for Big Johnson's Tattoo Shop and let the quality artwork they produce speak for itself. Whether it's your first tattoo or your next tattoo, trust your body art to the people that appreciate your body. Big Johnson's Body Art Studio, right next to Sal Saloon on Louisville Avenue in Monroe. Call 329-9-INK.
Hey, come here. You feeling lucky?
Ew, what a little prick.
Welcome back to the Brad Westmore Show.
And And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Jared, Magic Matt Leinart, and Batman here at the Jackalope Radio Studio. And I forgot to mention this part during the very first segment of the show. And I don't have time to play the entire thing, but before the Nebraska-Michigan game here a couple of weeks ago, Lee Corso dropped an F-bomb. Right beforehand. Yeah. And I had it on DVR, and I actually have a copy of it here, but we don't have time. It's a 43-second clip, and I'll just play the part where he drops the F-bomb. It's not that big of a deal because it's bleeped out. But.
Look at them over there. Red, white, and blue. USA.
Well, he says, ah, F it, you know, yeah. and you know, it was pretty funny I couldn't stop playing it back on my DVR, you know, pretty funny. And then, of course, they aired an apology during the first quarter of the game. And this was his apology. It was 11 seconds, and this is what he said.
Earlier today on College Game Day, while picking the SMU Houston game, I got a bit excited and used an expletive I shouldn't have used. I apologize, and I can promise it won't happen again.
So I figure we're going to use clips of that from now on when Batman swears on the show. We'll just play little clips like this.
I got a bit excited and used an expletive I shouldn't have used. I apologize, and I can promise it won't happen again.
What the heck is he even saying? Expeditive.
We can just do this.
I apologize, and I can promise it won't happen again.
So from now on, when Batman nice. Makes a mistake.
I apologize, and I can promise it won't happen again.
Or if Batman says the S word again.
I got a bit excited and used an expeditive I shouldn't have used.
Expeditive.
Exactly. So.
Jeez. Wow. Why is he so out of breath?
Well, probably because he.
Was he on the Stairmaster between.
80 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Stim
140,000 years old and probably got his ass chewed like you would not believe. So, you know what? I was thinking to myself, I actually was going to use this for the WTF news and sports theme, but this is the Dateline theme. But you know what? I got a better idea that we'll get to in just a minute. But before we get to WTF news and sports, it's time for a 2-week update on our Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football. Magic Matt Leinart, please give us a rundown on what's been going on with our teams the last 2 weeks. In fact, I have no idea at this point what happened this particular week. So,
well, the last 2 weeks, I don't remember 2 weeks ago, to be honest.
That's okay.
But I'll tell you. But I'll tell you the highlight of it was that
Rex Ryan.
I believe it was. My buddy.
Yes.
Has Rex Ryan as his coach, so he got some bonus points for the F-bomb that he fired off. I can't remember during which game it was, but.
And of course, if you're forgetting about
my buddy,
you know who he is. Okay.
but anyway, beyond that, things have been pretty steady. This last week that you ended up winning the week. Again, Brad won the week. Batman finished 1 point behind him. Myself and my buddy at 24 points, tied for third. Jared was last at 16 points. That's what happens when the Jets play well.
Yeah.
When the Jets play well, Jared doesn't do well. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Pretty simple.
I knew that going into it.
But before the season, Brad's on top, I'm in second, Jared's in third. My buddy and Batman, 1 point difference for fourth and fifth.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, I'm telling you, it's going to still go down to the wire. Anything can happen. And you know what else, too, by the way? I was thinking when Jack Del Rio got fired, that would have been the ultimate for a coach. We didn't talk about this, but obviously if a coach gets fired, there's got to be some, you know, that you've got. Like if Rex Ryan suddenly got fired or if Tom Coughlin got fired, there's got to be some major points involved, right?
I'll throw something in there this week because that has to be covered.
Yeah. And see,
but I don't think any of our guys are going to get fired.
Probably not. But that's kind of the dilemma. Here's the thing. When you're picking it, that's the cool thing about picking a coach next season. Okay. Do you pick the coach that's going to embarrass the team or drop an F-bomb, or do you pick a coach that might get fired? You know,
right.
And there's got to be a plus and a minus to both, probably, you know. So, yeah, that's something to make a note of that we'll work on for next year. And I think next year we're definitely going to get more people involved, I hope, if there's enough listeners out there that care.
Well, get all our listeners.
Yeah.
You're putting too many qualifications on that.
I know. So, anyway, let's, without further ado.
So, Dave, what are your goals here at WNYX?
Well, I just want to be the best damn news director I can be.
Good.
That's good. Let's go ahead and get things started with Mr. Magic. This is your little intro now. Mr.
I love it.
Magic Matt Leinart and his WTF news and sports. Magic Matt, please take us away, Calgon.
Why, thank you, Brad. We're going to start in the great state of Texas. It was a little weird down there this recently, so we got a lot of news from Texas.
Just recently, yeah.
Yeah, just recently. We'll start in Houston, where a man has launched a unique court battle, claiming his twin sons resulted from his sperm being stolen and taken to a Houston fertility clinic without his knowledge.
Wow. You know, you got to watch out for those Texan sperm stealers.
You're going to wonder why that happened and how it happened. But
yes,
yes,
please
I'll
tell
get
us.
To that.
Okay. Okay. Sperm wrestling, right? Is that what they called down there?
Yes, sperm wrestling. That's what it's called.
Okay.
They're heavy sleepers in Texas.
Oh, God.
It says here, 3 months after he broke up with his girlfriend, she became pregnant. He found out about the plot when a receipt arrived in the mail listing him as the patient from this fertility clinic. His ex-girlfriend gave birth to twin boys and then sued him for child support.
Oh, boy.
She won.
She won.
She won the case.
That's Texas for you right there.
Yep. And he's, so this is why he's suing her back. And he said that his ex-girlfriend claimed she was unable to have children while they were together due to a medical condition. And she also claimed that her condition required a certain sort of condom be used during sex. This is his quote.
He wow. Goes,
I did notice a little bit because she would take the condom and ask me to discard it. And usually a male would discard their own property, but she would always take the condom and she would run off out of the room. And I just didn't think anything of it.
You know, what's funny about that is you can't just like take that stuff and throw it in the corner. I mean, you're, and the reason I know this is from my own personal experience. No, I mean, that doesn't sound right.
Where were you working?
Let me start over again. McDonald's. No, seriously. What I mean is you can't just take your number three and like put it in the corner for safekeeping when you get a chance to take it to the sperm donor or the sperm clinic, okay? I mean, I know this from personal experience when we were trying to get pregnant. I mean, you can't, there's a time factor involved is what I'm saying, you know?
Did he hear like tires peeling out as soon as they were done?
No, thank God, but I'm sure this guy did. I'm sure this guy did. So my point is, I wonder what she was doing with it. You never know.
I just imagined her like having like on Jurassic Park when he had the dinosaur embryos hidden in like a shaving cream bottle. Do you remember that? When he was trying to see the island?
That could be.
That's kind of how I imagined it. So that's I figure she had one of those in the bathroom.
Yeah, Texas.
Some very special ice cube trays.
No kidding. Man. Man. Okay.
Ugh. All right, let's leave Texas alone. Let's move up to Illinois, where a man up there in Moline, he's 80 years old, he gave away his life savings on accident. This man didn't trust banks, and he kept his life savings of $13,000 sewn inside the lining of one of his suits.
Wow.
Hey, everybody seen my life savings, Grandpa Westmar here, and gave my life savings away by accident. Hey.
I bet that suit jacket was plaid.
Probably.
This is going to be shocking to you, but Goodwill spokeswoman Dana Engelbert said the charity has searched the Moline store where the man made his donation, but could not find the suit in question.
Oh, boy.
We were sorting through the donations that came in at that time, she says, laughing.
Wow.
Oh.
No, she didn't say that laughing. Worst part about it is he needs the money so he can care for his wife who has stage 4 cancer.
My wife has cancer. I need the money. And I'm going to go out in the street and find my suit. Hey, you over there.
Can you see the guy out there just hitting up everybody that's got a plaid suit on?
I think you got my...
Sir, get off me. Sir, what do you...
I think you got my money in there. Wait,
sir.
You know.
And at some point, you got to think that eventually society in general accepts the concept of a bank. Then maybe you better hop on board with that. This isn't like the 1880s where you have to worry about Jesse James hitting it up, or you know, it's generally okay.
Yeah, but there are still you're right. But there are
it's better than putting it in.
I forgot I showed it up in the lining of my suit jacket.
Just do what most survival nuts do and put it in a box and bury it in your backyard.
My wife's got her chemo and got to pay for it.
How do you forget? How do you forget that's the suit?
Damn, I forgot my money's in there.
And how do you extract it easily? I mean, you're just going to mail the whole suit to the doctor's office?
Why did you use the word extract? Makes me think of my first anal exam. They're going to extract your... Never mind.
That's different. Usually they're taking something in with that.
Shut up, Ginger.
Okay.
All right. Let's move to a story a little bit closer to home to you guys.
Don't forget.
Down in Topeka, Kansas.
Okay.
A man who held a Kansas couple hostage in their home while fleeing from authorities is suing them, claiming they broke an oral contract made when he promised them money in exchange for hiding him from police.
Well,
Jesse Dimmick of suburban Denver is serving an 11-year sentence after bursting into Jared and Lindsay Rowley's Topeka area home in September of 2009. Dimmick filed a breach of contract suit in Shawnee County District Court in response to a suit the Rowleys filed in September seeking $75,000 from him for intruding in their home and causing emotional stress.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, I mean, what an idiot. I mean, a contract can compel someone to do something illegal.
No.
You know, like, I can't.
Technically.
No, that's the point that was made later in the article by the attorney.
Yeah.
He made the same point that, you know, those things aren't legit.
I've watched enough Law and Order to know.
You're bouncing around all the dumb states here in the United States. You got Texas, you got Illinois, you got Kansas. You mentioned Denver, Colorado. When's the Philadelphia story coming up?
Oh, they're angry and dumb.
Yeah. What was that, Matt?
I said, I don't think we have Philly this week.
Okay, maybe next week.
I do actually, strangely enough that you mentioned that, I have a link saved, like phillynews.com or something that for one of my weird news sources.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Well done.
Perfect. Yep.
But
right.
The funny part about that story is that the neighbor said that the couple fed Dimmick snacks and watched movies with him until he fell asleep, and they were able to escape their home unharmed at that point. He ended up getting shot by the police in that ordeal, too.
Well, good for them.
Wow.
That'd make a great made-for-TV movie there. Little thing. I can see that.
I wonder what kind of snacks was it like. Was it leftover turkey that put him to sleep?
Or had to be Whoppers or something
they
like
that. They order pizza for him?
Fruit snacks and Kool-Aid?
Yeah, right.
How about
right.
Peanut butter and whey protein powder? Be good stuff.
Yeah, banana and
maybe not.
Banana and cocoa powder.
Hey, you guys see my life savings?
Okay, Gramps.
All right, let's move on to our one sports story of the day. I don't know if you guys have heard about this at all, but you know, shortly after the whole Penn State scandal, there came one out of Syracuse.
No,
the assistant basketball coaches, and that story just keeps getting weirder every day. Apparently, there was a phone conversation that was taped that ESPN's had in their possession since 2002 between the former ball boy, Bobby Davis. The one that was initially came out with these charges, and the wife of the coach who supposedly molested him.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did hear that. I did see that and listen to that conversation. That was pretty damning. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Apparently, that the ball boy that was molested had an affair with the assistant coach's wife.
Oh.
Also.
Oh, now that I didn't know.
Yeah. Apparently, she got around quite a bit. It says at least one media outlet has evidence that Lori Fine, her husband's Bernie Fine, now 53, had sex with many players on Jim Boeheim's squads over the years, that this was happening as early as 1982. And somebody is quoted as saying it was a rite of passage for some to be with Bernie's wife.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice. There's a sex tape out there, I guess, to prove this.
Oh my.
No.
Only at the Q's. And let's be honest, one of our local radio DJs in the sports genre, Mr. Nick Wright, went to Syracuse. In fact, you know what we were allowed to do? Since I've got a little bit of a relationship with him, we ought to call him and ask him if he's banged Mrs. Fine before, because he was probably there. He was there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he had to have been there.
Yeah, early 2000s, yeah.
How eligible do you think she is these days?
Probably not near as eligible as she was before.
No, and I'm betting you might have to pack some serious weaponry to, like, make an impact on whatever happened downstairs.
What, would you please say that in English?
I can't. No, I don't want to say it.
He's trying to clean it up.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying that.
You're saying she's probably got two broken fallopian tubes, is what you're saying.
She might have a broken upper palate in her mouth.
Okay.
I'm just.
All right.
Okay. All
are you
right.
done, Jared?
Yeah, I think
you
so.
Do you want me to move forward and save you, or do you want to keep talking?
No,
please
move forward. Save it. Please.
Okay. Let's go back to Houston.
Oh, boy.
I can't I can. This is maybe my favorite story of the day.
Okay.
Because as you know, a friend of mine has a 15-year-old son.
Oh, yes.
Generally that, drives him crazy.
Yes, with hickeys and things like that.
Yeah, things yes. like that. So this story has a little extra special place in my heart.
Okay.
It says a teen standing on a Houston street corner disappeared when a 6-foot deep sinkhole suddenly opened up under his feet. Giovanni Long, 16, found himself several feet below grade and underwater for about 15 seconds after a burst water main caused the 6-foot deep, 10-foot wide hole.
Oh my.
Wow.
Oh man. I'm gonna start looking into real estate in Houston. My friend.
I was gonna say, I've got one question. Yeah. What was your friend's son doing in Houston? That was my question, but maybe not so funny now. For your
friend's skipping son. Class.
Yeah. Oh, one of those. No, I see.
I don't know. I'm not gonna get into it.
Probably
it's my
not.
Friend's business.
Good idea. Not mine. Let your friend handle it.
That's right.
Exactly. It doesn't take a village.
No. There was one thing we didn't talk about. We're working on the format of this whole segment. There's one thing we didn't work on that we need to work on. Matt, when you're beginning your final story, you need to say, and finally, so that we know it's your last one. I forgot to tell you that. So, was that
and your... finally.
Okay. Wait a minute. Wait for it.
So, Dave, what are your goals here at WNYX?
Well, I just want to be the best damn news director I can be.
All right. So, in closing, go ahead, Magic Matt.
And finally, an airplane pilot got stuck in the laboratory, and when a passenger tried to help, things got complicated. Mm-hmm. The Chautauqua Airlines flight was in a holding pattern above New York's LaGuardia Airport when the laboratory door jammed, according to the New York Post. The trapped pilot banged on the door, getting the attention of a passenger and asking him to alert the cockpit crew. The problem is, the passenger tried to follow instructions, but his accent put off the crew when he tapped on the cockpit door.
Oh, yeah.
The captain has disappeared into the back, and I have someone with a thick foreign accent trying to access the cockpit right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to deal with the situation. The co-pilot radioed to air traffic control.
Oh, not good.
I'm not about to let him in.
Oh, God, no.
down.
Sorry.
The controller says you guys ought to declare an emergency and just get on the ground. The captain eventually freed himself and took control of the situation. Yeah. Negative, the captain responded. The captain, myself, went back to the laboratory and the door latch broke and I had to fight my way out of it with my body to get the door open.
I love the language. Like, he freed himself as though there was some sort of like, the toilet paper had him coiled up and bound in the back and he's there punching his way out of the bathroom.
Not good.
Karate chopping. I'm sure that's what he was doing.
I think I had read that story somewhere. Was that it? Was there more to it?
No. That was it, other than the FBI and Port Authority police waiting for him when I got on the ground.
Oh, God, what a mess.
Can you imagine that?
I cannot imagine. I think I did read that story. It's actually a fear that I've got. I mean, after 9/11, you think to yourself every time you fly, is something going to happen?
Is the pilot going to get trapped in the bathroom? Is that the fear that you have?
Not generally.
Right.
No, not generally.
Just flying crappy small planes, and usually those aren't targets.
But if the captain did get stuck in the bathroom, we know for a fact that I do not have Asperger's, therefore not smart enough to be able to fly the plane.
I don't know. You played enough Microsoft Flight Simulator, didn't you?
Whoa.
What?
What do you mean you're not smart enough? You went to college.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Let's take a break. When we come back, Mr. Peter King will be here to talk to you with his Monday morning quarterback. We will be right back, please.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
The following ad is a complete waste of time.
Attention, radio listeners.
Attention, all listeners, escuchando to the radio.
This is not a car ad. No trucks, no RVs, no SUVs.
Not even a skateboard.
Because we've got nothing to sell. We just like to yell and use plenty of reverb. We even make up Spanish words.
No estado de remero es amarillo.
But we don't sell cars.
And if you act now, is our special offer to you. We'll throw in, with no strings attached, abso-freaking-lutely nothing.
No freaking to end another.
So call, go buy, or visit your grandma as soon as possible.
Just don't come see us.
Because we don't sell anything.
Here's the part where we talk real fast so you don't know how bad you're getting screwed.
With the credit, some restrictions may apply. Look both ways before crossing. Straight never cartridge gets before the hatch.
If you think this show is precious, then that's really gay. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Mr. Afkar, Magic Matt Leinart, and Batman here. And without further ado, as I've said it once again, let's move straight forward into... You've never actually heard Peter King speak before. I'm surprised by that because he's all over the TV these days, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's everywhere. He's on NBC.
Sunday night all the time.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch a lot of football anymore.
Okay, well, this will be new for you. This will be new. But you've definitely read his Monday Morning Quarterback, so you know how bad of a writer he is.
Oh, he's an ass.
Okay, here we go. And Magic Matt agrees, too. So here, hey, everybody. This is Peter King with Monday Morning Quarterback. So, following Matt Leinart's injury of a broken heart, the Houston Texans will take an Atlanta kid, T.J. Yates, who played amid the rubble of the North Carolina program, and try to beat his hometown Falcons and the Bengals in the next 2 weeks. They'll get backup Kellen Clemens ready. He was signed after Schaub went down, and sign another backup, possibly Brody Croyle. The savior won't be Brett Favre, barring a major change of heart from GM Rick Smith and Kubiak. I don't think so, Smith told me about Favre post-game. I don't want to bring the circus to town. Circus? Maybe so, but the ringleader would be a winner.
Oh, God.
Brady climbs Mount Montana. Yeah, you know Tom Brady. I remember a few years ago Tom Brady's father telling me how significant it was that his son had won the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year award. Young Tom, he said, would come home from school on Thursdays in the fall and look for SI to read about his 49ers and his quarterback, Joe Montana. On Sunday, Brady caught his ex-idol, winning his 133rd game, matching Montana's career number. Brady did it at 34. Montana won his 133rd at 38. So there's time to stretch the record off into a distance. Doesn't that seem premature or strange that Brady's caught him with so much time left to play? I suspected, even 4 and 5 years ago, that Brady might one day catch Montana on the wins and stats list. Just seems odd to be here already, but here we are. I believe despite Ndamukong Suh's finally admitting he did something wrong, the league will suspend him this week. My gut tells me 2 games, though the NFL could make it 1 game plus time already served, nearly half a game for the 25 minutes missed against Green Bay. As I said on NBC Sunday night, I think it's likely if Suh appeals his suspension and is suited up next Sunday at New Orleans, the Lions will sit him for the first quarter to show they're serious about reining him in. Yeah. 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 Factoid of the week that may interest only me. Before Sunday, the last time Matt Leinart had thrown a touchdown pass in December 2008 for Arizona to Larry Fitzgerald in a 47-7 loss at New England. How long ago that was? The leading tackler for New England that day was Junior Seau, and the man covering Larry Fitzgerald on the touchdown pass, Ellis Hobbs, and the leading rusher for the Cardinals, Edgerrin James, and the starting quarterback for the Cardinals, Kurt Warner. They're all retired. Interesting, huh? Told you it'd be something that only interests me.
Yeah, why share it if it only interests you?
Top 10 things I think. This is my favorite part of my column. Top 10 things I think.
Christ.
I think this is what I liked about week 12. The diving catch to keep the Broncos alive on 3rd and 11 by that Minnesota Golden Gopher Eric Decker, and the correct replay review by Jeff Triplett. There wasn't enough evidence to overturn a catch ruled good. That Jeff Triplett, the best referee in the NFL. Sam Bradford's gorgeous throw to the back of the end zone. Now, hear me now. Sam Bradford's gorgeous throw to the back of the end zone, hitting Brandon Lloyd on stride. Yes. Charles Woodson, who is not getting older, he's getting better. Matt Moore, Magic Matt Moore, good backups have 15-year careers, and Moore is at least that. And on a day when he and Mike Pouncey couldn't get the exchange right, I thought he was still a major plus. More top 10 things I think. The catch by Brandon Marshall while getting mugged. Also, Jason Witten, the best security blanket Tony Romo will ever have, but only because he let Carrie Underwood go. Finally, I think this is what I didn't like about Week 12. Alex Smith missing a wide-open Delanie Walker on the first 49er offensive play of the game. Big, big error. Matthew Stafford's accuracy. Don't tell me his throwing hand's not going to be a problem down the stretch. Winning's the only stat that matters, but Dallas isn't going to win in January without more offensive production. The exact opposite holds true for Denver. They don't need offense when they have the ultimate winner, Jesus, as their quarterback. All right,
Maybe I didn't actually write that in my column. Maybe Brad Westmore added it to this. I don't know. More things I think I don't like about Week 12. Frank Gore touching it. Frank. More things I think I don't like about Week 12. Let me start over again. Frank Gore touching it 15 times on 54 offensive snaps for the Niners in a very physical game. Frank Gore is just not touching it enough.
Nelly.
The exact opposite holds true for Brad Westmar. He's been touching it too much lately. Anyway, all right. I like Colt McCoy, but he made a dumb play attempting to run for a first down in the opening quarter. Having to get to his 11-yard line, he ran out of bounds at the 10, clearly seeing that the marker was a yard ahead. Very strange. He could have swan-dived and made it easily. I guess it's par for the course when you consider how he almost lost the Big 12 championship game for Texas in his senior year with another boneheaded play. Nah. More things I think I don't like. Tyler Palco. Who wouldn't have been pulled if Todd Haley had a good option for him? That behind him. That's not saying much for Iowa rookie Ricky Stanzi, is it? If you think I'm overdoing it about a 3-8 team, Miami, I'm not. Last six games, Miami 137, foes 78. On Thursday, the Dolphins were one dumb botch snap away from beating the NFL East leaders at their place. How do you think about that, Magic Matt? What do you think about that? Yeah. And finally, I think that was the softest, weirdest, most unimpressive four-touchdown game that Mark Sanchez played Sunday that I'd seen in a long time. What do you think about that, Mr. Jared Afkar?
It was unimpressive. Too bad it didn't score me better in a certain league.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have time to tell you all the things I think about my non-football thought this week that include Thanksgiving dinner and coffee nerdness and beer nerdness and Marty Brodeur's hair. Don't have time for that. So
club yourself to death for me, will you?
I'll do that until next time. I'm Peter King saying thank you and good night. Are we closing the show?
That's what I'm getting ready to do.
Okay.
That's why he was gesturing like an epileptic in there.
I really wanted to have time to tell you about the coffee nerdness.
That's the worst part.
Cappuccinos and
double frapp.
That is the worst part of his whole column.
It really is.
It just doesn't make you just want to beat the crap out of the guy.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Spent Thanksgiving with my family in San Francisco. Fun, relaxing, at times slothful. Very enjoyable, including the football watching. What I found most interesting was the interest in the games from the women.
Yeah. Yes. Funny that they seem like a foreign species to you, Peter.
No kidding. Coffee nerdness. Had a very different coffee experience in San Francisco at Phil's, spelled P-H-I-L-Z, which has several brewed-to-order coffee shops in the Bay Area. No lattes or cappuccinos there, only brewed coffee. You order your coffee, you order your cup. Mine was French roast. And the gal takes a stainless, steel cup and dips it into the container of beans and gets enough for the cup and grinds it in a regular coffee grinder. Then she takes the ground coffee. This is filling space on the internet, mind you. Then she takes the ground coffee, Then she takes the ground coffee, puts it into an individual filter, suspend it over your cup, pours the hot water in the filter, stirs the brew on. Just keeps on going. Had a little cream in mine. Delicious. No bitterness, okay? And then he goes on to say, so fresh. Next time, I'll go even... Listen to this. This is the punchline. Hello? Next time, I'll go even darker than the French roast. But I need to be careful because, you know, once you go black... All right, he didn't say that part. I actually wrote that part. But anyway, so real quick, Jared, what's more annoying, this or Quattro Smash?
Oh.
Peter King?
Peter King by far.
Peter King's more annoying than Quattro. I'm surprised by that.
Quattro Smash hurts my head, but Peter King makes me angry and want to smash things.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, by the way.
Yes, sir.
One black quarterback between Randall Cunningham and Donovan McNabb.
Who was that?
Rodney Pete.
Yes. And what school did Rodney Pete go to? USC. Yes, sir. Another quarterback in the NFL that did nothing from USC.
Yep, they played 10 years just from being from USC.
I'm getting the epileptic seizure from Batman again. We got to close the show. Jared, nice to have you.
Thank you. Likewise.
And Magic Matt, Liner, good to have you and your broken vulva.
Always a pleasure.
Batman, thank you for being here as well. We'll talk to you next week. Sans Mr. Afkar. Maybe Batman's homunculus will join us too. I'm Brad Westmar saying thank you. Good night.